Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get the show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
With your hosts, Swagzilla Zero G.
We can't all be winners.
Mike, the feverish Fanero.
It's never in a vacuum! Nothing is in a vacuum!
And FF underscore spaceman.
And he's trying to trick me by supporting vacated targets. As if they're a real thing.
David Wright. The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it.
Ready to come. I see.
Welcome back to Rookie Fever, episode 193. Here, as always, with the feverish Fanero. Also back, the one and only FF underscore spaceman. Dave, how the hell have you been?
It's been too long, gentlemen. It's been 3 weeks, holy, since we've all met officially. I don't know. It's not a fever anymore. I think I have a sickness. I'm official. It's official. So
and,
I need a
and
cure.
Still somehow feels like deja vu.
Are we allowed to say we're sick? Is it safe to say that now?
I think so, you know.
All right, cool. I'm also sick.
I've always had the fever.
Yeah, I'm very sick.
So many
sick.
People have the fever, and we're going to try to help you with that fever. We have the cure for Dave, but maybe we can like raise or lower expectations for other people that actually have the rookie fever. And we're going to kind of try to talk about some of the expectations for some guys, like, and who could actually help us in 2021 from the wide receivers and tight end. Finally, we get to talk to feverish Fanero.
It's an awkward.
I want to know, like, I know it's not time yet. It's not time yet. Now you have to wait longer. I can be winded. The anticipation.
Is it time now?
But what are our expectations for some of these guys? Like a wide receiver, like what should we actually be happy with at the end of the season with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, you want to see flashes, right? We always talk about that. Like, oh, you know, that you know, he looked good in that game, or when he got that opportunity when the player in front of him got hurt. Like, you're always looking for stuff like that. You also want to see these guys stay healthy. I have a list from 2020. Mims, Rager, Ruggs, Hamler, Pittman, all people miss 3, 4, 5, 6 games. And it's really hard to evaluate these guys when that happens. But all of last year, guys, all of last year with these very exciting rookies, we had one wide receiver one, two wide receiver twos, and two wide receiver threes in the entire class. That's 5 guys that were fantasy relevant at the wide receiver position. We had no relevant tight ends, but that's not a big surprise. I don't think you guys are surprised by that a bit. But Justin Jefferson obviously led this group at a wide receiver one. I think he was 4 overall, depending on your scoring system. Chase Claypool right behind him, he was a wide receiver 2. Those 9 touchdowns certainly helped that. CeeDee Lamb was also a wide receiver 2, just barely falling in at wide receiver 24. T. Higgins and Brandon Ayuk were wide receiver 3s.
Yeah. So who were those, like, what kind of yards were those guys putting up to actually? Because, I mean, you could put up like 800, 900 yards and still be wide receiver 40.
That seems to be the magic number, Swags, is that 800 to 900 target. The lowest one was Brandon Ayuk, who missed 4 games with 748 yards on 96 targets, 60 catches. And then everyone above that, Claypool had 873. Everyone after those two had 900 or above. We all know Justin Jefferson had that nice round 1400 historical season. But that 800-900 area is right where you want to be, and it's tough. It's really tough. Jerry Jeudy did it, but he only had 3 touchdowns, so he was wide receiver 45.
And not to be the nerd here, but we have to also remember they're playing 17 games this year. So this is actually, that threw me for a loop for all of this stuff. I was like, well, how do I care? Like doing all kinds of complex long division, carrying the 2. It got crazy here trying to figure out that one extra game.
Yeah. I mean, I took that in consideration. I took that in consideration too when I'm trying to project these guys for 2021. But, you know, it is all relative when you're talking about whether you're talking about projections. That's not relative, obviously. But if you're talking about if these guys are going to be wide receiver 1, 2, or 3s and be relevant, fantasy relevant, it doesn't, the 17th game doesn't really factor too much in for me, but certainly if you're projecting them, it has to.
So let's talk about some of that fantasy relevancy. And Dave, I'll ask you, do you think the end of season, do you think Ja'Marr Chase leads the pack for fantasy football?
No, I don't. I actually have Kyle Pitts as the number one from what we're going to talk about tonight. I have Kyle Pitts leading the pack. And I was shocked by that going into it. I did not expect that. I just have to keep telling myself last year was a historic rookie class. This is a very good position group, but it's going to be really tough to match what they did last year. So three top 24 rookies. Usually I think the average is one or two. So to have three and then a couple just outside, it's really gonna be tough to do that. So no, Ja'Marr Chase, I don't want to reveal all my secrets here, but I also, when I get projecting, I almost like overcompensate because I'm really high on Ja'Marr Chase. And sometimes I overcheck myself a little bit because I'm like, am I being too excited? Am I getting too out ahead of my skis here? So,
well, what if we stick with the wide receivers then? Do you think that Ja'Marr Chase leads that pack?
No, I don't. And this is with me keeping myself in check. I have Rondale Moore leading the way.
Wow.
In that Arizona offense. Yeah.
I love it. Okay. Let's stay here. There's no more teasing, Dave. You just dove right in. You're back. I did.
So your number one for 2021 in this class is Rondale Moore.
I can't believe it. I feel almost kind of crazy saying it, but yeah, I think it's a three-way race. I think it all starts with the volume in Arizona. That they run the most plays per game, like plays per minute or whatever the metric is. They run the most plays. That offense has an incredible amount of targets. There's a lot to go around there, and they spread it out. They run the most four wide receiver sets in the NFL last year. So there's room to have all these players on the team. It's going to be a three-way race for that second spot behind DeAndre Hopkins, like I said. And I honestly have Rondale Moore, 16-18% target share, 15 to 20 carries, because I think he's going to get some work on the ground as well. Not crazy receiving numbers, 750, 850 receiving yards, and then five-ish touchdowns. And for me, that just shows you that while I'm pretty, that just shows you how kind of reserved I am with the wide receivers overall. Like I don't have anyone going for 1,000 yards receiving for wide receivers in this class. But yeah, I think Moore is going to be a PPR machine in that offense. I think that's kind of how I'm going about it.
And I want to be clear before we get further into this, what Dave is saying is that that's his most productive fantasy wide receiver from the 2021 rookie class. Not that that's his dynasty wide receiver one.
100%.
Just to be clear for the listeners.
I would also like to be clear that not doing an episode like this, Swagzilla 0G picked Justin Jefferson to be that number one player.
I did
last year.
The other one I picked though didn't end quite as good, but he's getting a lot of hype right now, and that was Laviska Shenault.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you did love Laviska.
So had some spurts, which I mean, we're going to talk a little bit about that too. So Finero, same question. I know that you've got a lot of players you want to dive into from the wide receiver side.
But I'm going to go
same question.
Mm-hmm, I'm going to go chalk here. Ja'Marr Chase is my number one on this list. So for a lot of the reasons that Spaceman brought up, I agree with a lot of them. But I also think that we didn't have Burrow for a full season. He was on pace to possibly lead the league in attempts last year. He would have been this isn't projecting out because he played a third of the season. He played two thirds of the season. So I felt like he was pretty healthy. I think he was on pace for 640 attempts. I looked at the situation with Burrow, and I looked at CeeDee Lamb's rookie season, and I think they're going to be damn close. I really do. CeeDee Lamb also has an alpha that he had to play with. CeeDee Lamb has some challenges. CeeDee Lamb wound up finishing just under that 1,000-yard mark. I'll tell you in a minute. 935 and 5 touchdowns. I have Chase in a better situation, assuming Burrow plays all 17. 70 catches, 1,075 yards, and 5 or 6 touchdowns, which would make him a wide receiver 2 and the only wide receiver 2 in my whole group. I have no wide receiver 1s.
Interesting.
Do you have him as the... Where do you have him in the pecking? Do you have him as the wide receiver 2 on that team, or like do you have Higgins ahead of him, or like
yeah? So right now I have, like, last year Boyd had 110 targets, Higgins had 108, and Green had 104. and Green was horrible with his 104.
Easy.
Sample's gonna
that helps you in your Rondell Moore take.
There you go. Sample's gonna eat up like no targets as a tight end. He's gonna eat up like 50 targets over there. Mixon will come back to earth and do maybe 45, 50 targets. I just think there's plenty there for Boyd, Higgins, and Chase with Burrow throwing 600, 640 times. I do. And I think if you give Chase that 110 is what I'm giving him, 110 targets, 70 catches, I think he can do that 1,000-yard season. I do.
I love Chase. I hope it happens. I have him as a wide receiver. I am having trouble getting him ahead of Boyd and Higgins. That's my only problem. I think that was my issue. I think
and Dave, that's going to happen in, let's say, the first five or six games. You're going to see that play out. You're going to see Boyd and Higgins probably out-target him, probably out-produce him, and then over time, the cream will rise to the top.
So the guy I'm starting to like a lot more for 2021 and potentially for the future, I wish I got attached to a little bit quicker in some of our early rookie drafts, is Elijah Moore. I think that he's in a good situation this year to be in that like late wide receiver two to wide receiver three range, which is a really good area for a rookie. I'm not saying that he's going to beat out anybody, to be completely honest with you, but I think that he could be like that. I mean, even a wide receiver three and somebody that you could flex and because let's be honest, we need those guys too. Like if you're starting three wide receivers in your team plus your flex spot, that's anywhere from 36 to 48 plus, depending on how many wide receivers you're starting or flex spots you have in your league. That's a lot of wide receivers. So I think that Elijah Moore is somebody that I would put in that area just with the coverage Corey Davis could take. And
I love that take. I have Elijah Moore sixth on wide receivers, but I put a whole bunch of question marks after that, saying that he could be the biggest surprise in this class just because of all of the question marks that are stacked up, right? So I don't know what I'm going to get out of Wilson. I don't know what Mims is. I don't know how Corey Davis will affect to a new offense. I don't know if Crowder's still here anymore. There's a lot of question marks that if enough of them go towards Elijah Moore's favor, his projection of 550, I have him around 550 yards, three touchdowns, could go way up. And I think we're already hearing some camp buzz. Elijah Moore is like one of my favorite player profiles that I did with Jason DiGrenzo. I really like Elijah Moore. Even though he's sixth on my list, I could see him skyrocket. I really do. Yeah. So that's an exciting take. I like that.
He's my wide receiver three. I'm right there with you guys. Like as the excitement around you, this camp hype, and the specific things that I'm reading about Elijah Moore, and I really try to stay away from getting too hyped about camp hype. But man, it's so hard, the stuff they're saying about how good he's being. And the thing about New York is it's a challenging team to project. I think Corey Davis is going to lead the way as far as the number one option. But I think from week to week, you could see four different players be the wide receiver one on that team from a fantasy perspective week to week. So I think it's totally with very probably one of the median outcomes is at least that Elijah Moore like is going to be the wide receiver two for the Jets. I think that probably happens more times than not if you run different projections. And yeah, I'm really excited about him. I think he's hopefully if Wilson can make the, you know, you expect whatever he does as a rookie, but if he is what people think that he can be, it'll be interesting to see how he grows, Elijah Moore grows, and he could be a great rookie that we could get really excited about down the stretch and heading into years to come.
Since this is all about like kind of calming down our rookie fever expectations, let's just also keep in mind that this is not even training camp where we're hearing this buzz. And I heard a ton about Bryan Edwards this time of year last year, a ton about Van Jefferson this time of last year. So I'm just going to put a little calm down a little bit on the training camp or whatever these are. Like
we knew that Bryan Edwards wasn't going to be a year one guy.
Did we?
I feel like we did. I do at this time, you know, I feel like we did. And then it got a little bit closer and there were those crazy trades you heard about where people were getting a first for Bryan Edwards, and which was a great return, by the way. But I feel like we kind of knew that it was going to take him a minute. He was coming off an injury. He fell in the NFL draft. I'm not surprised today. I feel like that's where I don't feel like I was alone in that take. And I feel like that's where I was.
Okay.
And I feel alone a lot. I think I would be able to remember those feelings or have them suppressed somewhere. So I feel like we kind of knew. Yeah.
I think any time that, you know, Camp Buzz can make a wide receiver worth a first round rookie pick is probably means that there were some people that were fooled by that.
Absolutely. I think it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah. I had higher expectations for Bryan Edwards. I didn't expect him to come out and be CeeDee Lamb, but I didn't expect him to do nothing.
He ended the season really strong.
They ended with a touchdown, but
for the record, I've inquired 3 different leagues about Elijah Moore. I've been told he is not movable right now. Like I can't, like I offered future first and plus and couldn't get, and he was not available.
I was just simply saying that Bryan Edwards is almost that hard to get this time last season. Just trying to combat. I love Elijah Moore. I love him. Like I really, really do. And like I said, I have him 6. I think Dave said 3. I don't know if Swags necessarily ordered these guys, but he basically said he qualifies to be in this discussion of where we are with Rondale Moore right now and Jamar Chase. And I don't disagree. I want to make that really, really clear. I just also want to say that I don't know if I'm going to base – I'm not basing these projections or my opinion on the hype I'm hearing in these OTAs. That's all I'm saying. I'm basing this on,
so you know, let me ask you guys before. This now that some of the dust has settled a little bit, how are you guys feeling 2021 Amon-Ra St. Brown?
I have Amon-Ra St. Brown as a hopeful Gabriel Davis, Darnell Mooney type.
So like 600 yards.
Yeah. So that's what I'm hoping to get out of Amon-Ra. I think that he has to win that number 2 spot. I think that could happen really soon. I think people are already putting him in the number 1 spot because he might be the most talented wide receiver. But the reality is he hasn't played in the NFL. And I think he's going to need some time to be given that spot. You see that time and time again in these NFL teams. They give it to the vets before they give it to the rookies. And I just feel like – and there's some camp buzz about Amon-Ra too. So, you know, he's got no one there. I mean, we all know that. But I'm trying to be a little bit more realistic. I also don't – no offense, I just don't even love Detroit and the situation there. So I'm worried about golf. Like there's some concerns, but you know, as far as the empty depth chart, I mean, you know, he could win the number 1 spot by the end of the year, and I could be wrong, but I think that would be a good first year for Amon-Ra if he's like a Darnell Mooney or a Gabriel Davis type.
And I mean, even if he were to win hypothetically that number 1 wide receiver spot, that doesn't mean he's going to be winning number 1 in targets with Hockenson and Swift there. So,
yeah.
Dave, where are you with Amon-Ra? Amon-Ra St. Brown.
It feels like you got to say it that way, right?
I'm excited, more excited than I was before Swag said it that way. So I'll say that pumped me up a little bit. So, the way I'm actually approaching Amon-Ra St. Brown is that any type of positive news once minicamp or preseason happens, I am trying to pump that up in my leagues and sell him for that's how I'm approaching him. I am not expecting year 1 returns. I'm worried. He's a young player. So it's not like he's 21. So he's young. There are some veterans there. I don't know anything about Detroit besides I'm excited about their running backs and their running, like what's going on there, and their tight end. But outside of that, it's a crapshoot. I think that it's going to be really tough for Amon-Ra St. Brown to be in the same, be like any of the players that were like 5-7 players we're about to, the next 5-7 wide receiver we're going to talk about, be tough for me to put him in that category. So for me, I'm willing to try to sell on any type of positive buzz that I can get, knowing that I do actually like his overall profile. I'm conflicted, but yeah, I'm just not as excited as I am about other players.
You've made me more conflicted.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I mean, I'm surprised because usually
21, you like his profile, a young guy competing with older guys, his probably complete college career. And now he's going to be doing it in the NFL. You like him. I agree with like one thing. I agree with a lot you said, to be clear. I'm not trying to be completely rhetorical here, but like just the age thing, I feel like that's pretty good. But then like, I feel like he could hit this year. And for me, that's when I want to sell, Dave. I feel like he could have some good big games that everybody's going to be expecting. And then me, even as excited as I am about him, I feel like that's when you could sell, because I mean, he's not the wide receiver one on the team, no matter how good he does this year. Even if he becomes it, they're going to still be looking for one. And he could be that one of those next guys we get too excited about. And then he loses the role to either future free agents or future draft picks.
To support that, Swags, Terrell Williams and Perriman weren't even on the Lions last year.
Right.
Right. I mean, like, they have to acclimate to this team.
When was the last time Tyrell Williams even played football?
Yeah, there's that holding too. Yeah. And he can't stay healthy. Perriman has the same problem. We haven't talked about, you know, the great Quintus Cephas yet, but, you know, still, like, I mean, the reason everyone's eyes are on Amon-Ra is because there's no wide receivers on this team. But that doesn't mean he's going to be a wide receiver too in fantasy.
You brought up Cephas, and we almost knew coming into this situation that if there were no wide receivers on this team, that we should get excited about him. But now it's actually here, and he's almost just like forgotten.
You know what, dude? I think I would have gotten excited about almost any wide receiver if they would have picked them in like the second round.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like that just would have been that. Yeah, or the third. It would have been magical. Like this fourth round pick, and then taking these late UDFAs. Like I don't know. Is Detroit trying to win?
That's a good question. You know,
that's a problem too.
Would you guys be shocked if Jonathan Adams was actually the wide receiver that emerged from this group? That's kind of how I'm feeling. Like Sage Surratt, I believe, is in Detroit too, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if. The thing is that's almost like it's almost like you just shake him up and you roll the dice a little bit. And the thing is, when now I'm almost getting conflicted when Swag started talking again, because he said he wants to sell Amon-Ra if he starts to hit. And I'm like, no. If he starts to hit, I'm like all in, baby, because a weakness of mine is once I see early production from a wide receiver, I'm wheels up. I can't pump the brakes no matter what. Unless his name's Chase Claypool, I can't pump the brakes. So
I don't think it'd be that crazy though. Now that we bring up those undrafted free agents, that maybe like Tyrell Williams is the cut candidate.
Yeah.
And not those guys.
Yeah, absolutely. So I totally agree with that.
So I don't hate those guys at all.
I think they hold on to Perriman, but I think Tyrell Williams could absolutely be not.
We've
on this
got,
team.
A lot to get to, because Dave mentioned 5 to 7 more wide receivers like, more than Amon-Ra St. Brown. So
there are some that we have to talk about, like for sure.
Hit it.
So my number two is Jalen Waddle. I have him at 90-ish targets, 65 catches, 850 yards, and 4 touchdowns.
Whoa.
Yeah. So it's a lofty expectation. And there's more. I was between him and Devonta Smith, who's my number four. I just think there's like Devonta Smith has, I think, more opportunity for sure than Waddle, because there are some names to sit there and catch the ball around Waddle. But I think Waddle, just with his speed, what he can do after the catch, I think you're going to see some big plays out of Waddle. And I think I don't know with this Eagles offense and this Eagles offensive line how much I can trust Smith over Waddle. So I'm going to go Waddle as my number two. 65 catches, 850 yards. That has him flirt with wide receiver two.
Yeah, I don't hate that at all.
Dave got a reaction.
My reaction is that I'm seeing red. I'm trying to do the math of where Rondale Moore is, and Finero's adding up the numbers. Like, I'm counting. I'm like, I'm running out of fingers here. Where Rondale Moore? No, but I the way I approach Miami is that Lynn Bowden, Preston Williams, Mike Gesicki, the running backs are going to get a decent target share there. Will Fuller and Devontae Parker are going to be there.
Yeah, I know.
And the way that I think of Tua, the way I think of Brian Flores, and I view that as a spread it out type of offense. I don't really see a wide receiver coming in and just dominating. Now, that being said, I do have him for 500 to 600 yards, 65 to 75 targets, 11 to 14% target share. 3 to 4 touchdowns. I'm not like totally off. Like, oh, I don't like Jalen Waddle. It's just I'm more of a temper, because I just think that Miami's going to really spread it around. But I think Waddle is going to show flashes to get people excited, and you're going to see, as you know, as Tua starts to develop, that you're going to start to see some real promise. Where I think in my mind, people are going to start really excited about Waddle going to year two.
Yeah. So this group for me, Waddle, Smith, and the third player in this tier, they all have the capability to be either the wide receiver one or wide receiver two on their team. And after that, I just don't think the others do. Not in year one, with the exception of Elijah Moore. That was the wild card.
I mean, how quick is Waddle going to be the alpha on that?
Yeah, I know. And that's, it's a little bit of a bold take. It's a little bit of a bold take, but I don't think.
Is it though?
I don't love the wide receivers on this team.
I think that's why Miami
drafted Waddle.
Will Fuller wanted to do like a jersey exchange with Waddle. Waddle's probably just going to be like, no, it's cool, but you can have mine, dude.
I agree.
And he's probably not even going to take Will Fuller's jersey.
Yeah, I just don't like those two wide receivers that are there now. I just really don't. And I think Waddle is going to, I don't want to say unlock Tua, but I think he's really going to be nice with Tua.
I hear you though. Yeah,
I think Tua and Waddle are going to find a connection very quickly. I really do.
Well, and they've already had one.
They're similar. So I don't know. 90 targets. 90 targets is high, but it's not crazy. 65 catches is maybe a little high. Again, not crazy. We have him with the same amount of touchdowns, but you know.
I mean, Hunter Renfrow can get 600 yards.
Yeah, and it's not on the Raiders, but
yeah, I know.
Yeah, so it's not like I'm trying to like be a rain on the parade too at all, because I actually going through my thought process, trying to go from a top down approach to the team, and I thought I was actually going to be a little bit lower on Waddle just because I'm not as high on Waddle as others are, but I'm not like totally off the bandwagon either. I just never get him based on where I have him ranked as other people do.
Right.
And it's just, I'm not like, I don't think he's Henry Ruggs. Let's just say that. Like I was like poo pooing Henry Ruggs. I am not doing that with Jalen Waddle at all, but I'm not like, all right, let's go baby. Kind of all wheels go thing. So I think I'm just in between. So I'm not trying to say you guys are like totally wrong. It's just, I think I'm just a bit more tempered.
I think your projections are totally within the range of outcomes.
Yeah, I totally get it. Yeah, absolutely. So who will have more fantasy points in 2021, Rashad Bateman or Sammy Watkins?
Wow, Bateman.
I'll board that shit right now.
All right.
I have Bateman too.
Bateman easy.
It gets tough for me.
Sammy Watkins, not easy.
Wow.
Yeah, I
think it'll be close. I think we're sleeping on Sammy Watkins, the veteran, versus the rookie that we're a little too excited about. And I'm talking about year one. I'm talking about year one here. I'm not saying go get Sammy Watkins over Rashad Bateman. I'm not even saying Sammy Watkins is going to be spectacular. I'm just saying he's going to have more fantasy points than Bateman in 2021.
I have Bateman with 70 targets, 650 yards receiving, 45 catches and 3 touchdowns. I think that's pretty realistic.
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy. I think he could have more. I mean, Hollywood had what, like 800-900 yards last year? And I know that was his second year, but.
Yeah, I definitely brought the projections down based on, you know, the pass volume we've been talking about for weeks now. But I thought 70 targets just made a lot of sense to me. Bateman could wind up being a first read, to be honest. Now, Watkins is somebody maybe I just am done with, and that could be me overlooking. Absolutely. Rightly Swags. So. Rightly I agree. So. I agree that could happen. There are players that I do just wipe my hands of. They literally feel good to drop or trade because I'm just so done with them. And Watkins is on that list.
Sammy Watkins, any teams.
Yeah, I hear you. But if you're even partially right,
like, yeah. For 2021 to get me some production, if I really need it at the right price, I will. But I could see him outproducing Bateman and still not increasing in value at all. And Bateman still being fine for the future. But
yeah. Mm-hmm.
What I'm seeing is like I went through the Ravens, and what I'm saying is I'm buying Lamar Jackson. I think I'm really excited. I think there's going to be a little uptick in passing volume. I'm excited about Mark Andrews. I'm actually still feeling Hollywood to a certain degree, and I'm feeling Rondale Moore, or not Rondale Moore. I want to say that all the time. Rashad Bateman. I want to say that all just the time. In case you guys don't know, I'm really feeling Rondale Moore, but no, Rashad Bateman. I have him right around Fenner. I think a couple like 75 targets, a little bit more, 650, 700 receiving yards. And I sat there and I looked back and I said, this feels a little bit high, but also I think I'm adjusting the 17 games and stuff like that. But no, I can see myself getting to the point where with the Ravens, where I'm just totally sad. I have to really pump the brakes with Dobbins. I'm trying to be. I'm just really excited about the Ravens. I think they're going to take
you. You can smash the gas down on Dobbins.
So it just tell me that I really am excited about this Ravens. I think they are because I don't think that defense is going to be as good this year. So I'm thinking there's going to be a lot to. I think there's going to be need to be more offensive firepower. So yeah. So
I'm all in on Dobbins, man.
I think they definitely are going to bounce back offensively. I mean, I definitely think that there's going to be a rebound from last year for sure.
So yeah, I like my Rashad. I like me some Rashad Bateman.
What does that mean? What is a rebound from last year? What does that actually mean?
Well, everything was down, right? So Lamar Jackson at one point was like right behind Mahomes as a quarterback, and it came off of that, what was it, 38 touchdown season?
Sure, yeah.
Right. So I think regression back to that number touchdown wise would be a great start. I don't mean attempts. Not going to go there. I'm not going to poke that bear. But I
even mean like from all-purpose yards. And I guess you answered it with the touchdown.
Touchdowns.
I mean, the all-purpose yards.
Touchdowns are a big deal.
The offense still puts up numbers.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think they're a top three offense. That's how, like, I think Lamar Jackson has, in my range of outcomes, I could have Lamar Jackson having 50 points more than any other quarterback. That's how, like, just how I'm – when they started saying, and I know I really sometimes I feel like I'm just being placated when they talk about targeting running backs out of the backfield, but I really think targeting the running backs out of the backfield will help unlock that whole offense more because they've added more wide receiver talent. So they're not going to just squeeze Lamar to the boundaries like they were passing last year. So Lamar can hit Andrews. He can hit his secondary wide receivers more, have Hollywood stretching, and then he can do his rushing thing. And then the running backs can hit out of the backfield and they're going to do what they do on the ground. I'm really trying to maintain my enthusiasm for the Ravens.
Are you saying that you think Lamar Jackson is going to become a check down quarterback?
Not check down. I just think they're going to have some more designed type of, hey, we're going to have a linebacker on J.K. Dobbins out of the backfield. Gus Edwards, dump him off, a couple dump offs, but use that's Gus Edwards, not Gus Edwards. J.K. Dobbins is a weapon as a pass catcher. Use him. He is a true weapon in the open space. From an opportunity, he was one of the top three backs in points per opportunity last year in fantasy at one point, or if not at the end of the season. He is that efficient. He's that dynamic. So
I do not disagree that they should do everything you're saying. I'm saying in his young career with his athleticism and his attitude that he's going to beat you and he's the one that will beat you, that running, that those run plays, those design run plays, those run plays just come from his gut. I don't think he's putting that away. I don't think that it's going to be when he gets older and he realizes that he needs to do it more. I don't think it's this year. I
don't think it's dump offs. I think they have to design it. So I agree. He's going to rather do it with himself with the ball in his hand, but a dump off to Dobbins in space is kind of, or
that's
not
why I, that's why target. I like, that's why I like Bateman.
Yeah.
I like Bateman for all those reasons because he hasn't had somebody underneath to throw to. I'm not going crazy over the Dobbins as a receiver. I know that in college he showed that he can do it. I know we're now seeing in OTAs the ball. I would love to see it.
Everybody else in the backfield combined. I think he had 24 targets, which I know you guys want to see 40, but that's with missing some time, not starting. And then, I mean, what everybody else, after that, it was Mark Ingram with 9, Gus Edwards with, I don't know.
That's kind of my point.
7, and then Justice Hill with 5.
That's kind of my point. Whole running back crew just didn't have enough targets he's not a dump off guy.
They trust Dobbins more. So if you get Dobbins up to 40 to 45 targets.
That's nothing, though. That's 30 receptions, 25 receptions.
But that moves you from a wide
to still run all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you both that should happen. I'm going to believe it when I see
personally,
it.
Personally, and I'm not saying either of you are saying this, but I think that it's a mistake to want Lamar Jackson or to assume Lamar Jackson is this year's Josh Allen.
I agree 100%.
And I think that some people.
I don't think anybody said that. Nobody here saying that.
But I said you guys weren't saying that.
Yeah.
Well, agreeing that you were saying
that. I started off with that, that nobody here is saying that. You two are here.
So, and I think that that's a trap that I've seen people kind of falling into with this situation. And when people are kind of asking questions about that receiver group and what Lamar could be, I think Lamar is going to continue to be just fine for fantasy though. And that,
I agree.
That offense is, and that's what, even kind of what I said, like what is rebounding from last year? And you answered me, you said more touchdowns. I totally get it. I think that is acceptable. I think you're 100% right, but the offense still freaking pounded, you know, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. they're still putting up all purpose yards.
Yep.
And we're just not happy with that in fantasy because we don't see it through the wide receivers. And that's where we're trying to put the numbers is in. And I just don't think I'm more with you on it, Finero, where, and I like the take you took on it, cause I didn't even go that far, but the mentality that Lamar has is he's going to continue to want to run it. Sometimes
he's successful doing it. He's constantly reaffirmed that it's a good thing and nobody's stopping him. They're designing plays to do it.
Right.
I just don't see that magically changing on the off season that Dobbins,
he'll throw it a little bit more.
Yeah. I've been saying that. I've been saying a little bit more, whatever that is. I agree. He will be throwing a little bit more. I think Bateman is a part of that. I think Dobbins also, Dave, is a part of that. I think Bateman will be a bigger part of that. Much bigger.
And just to clarify that, I don't think it's going to turn into like, he's not going to become a 60 target guy, 70 target guy. I think it's more of a, you're hoping for Jonathan Taylor type targets from last year. And what it is it's that's just about it. I just want to make sure that I'm not saying like, hey, this is going to totally change Lamar Jackson, because I don't think that's going to happen. I just hope that this offense can evolve, because I'm really excited about the offense. And if that's just what I would do. So,
yeah, and that's I think that's all I was saying.
Like 15 to 2000 all purpose yards for the next 2 to 3 years.
Oh,
Dobbins.
I could see you. I 100% could see it, Swags. And I actually started getting too excited about Lamar Jackson to remember what my point was. But my point was, is those 15 to 20 extra targets for Dobbins from like that 24 range that he had last year to the 40, 45 range puts him from a mid RB2 to a low end RB1. That's kind of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And if you guys are into this kind of stuff, we're going to be talking about running backs next week.
Yeah, baby.
Running backs and quarterbacks.
And quarterbacks.
Yeah.
There are three names that I would love to talk about tonight before we go.
Yeah. What you got?
There's one, Devonta Smith, guys, in Philly. I've been seeing a lot of talk. I've heard some people say he's the wide receiver one on Philly from day one. What are your guys' thoughts?
I think he is the wide receiver one right now, but I don't know what this offense is going to be able to do. I'm literally each day changing my opinion on what I think this offense can do. Jalen Hurts is so polar for me. I just can't put my finger on whether he's just going to be one of those quarterbacks that struggles a little bit and runs first. I don't know. But all that being said, I still have Devonta Smith with 90 targets, 60 catches, 770 yards, and 5 touchdowns. I have him as
projections under the assumption that Hurts is there or gone.
I think he's gone. I don't think there's any chance Hurts stays. I think there's a stronger possibility he gets cut. Ooh. I think they save something like $8.5 million and they need it.
Maybe that's why they're not getting any offers for Hurts.
Yeah, they might just know. Yeah, they might know what everybody else knows. But I think Devonta Smith was drafted to be the number one wide receiver on this team, and he will be the wide receiver one on this team week one.
I mean, I'm right there with you. I have him and Rager neck and neck. I think they're different types of wide receivers, but I have them the same type of target share, like really 15% apiece. I think Devonta Smith has more catches. I think Rager has more yards, and then it's a TD situation thing. So, yep. But I think I might have Goddard actually leading in target share on that team, which is kind of the crazy thing.
It's possible. No, Ertz, it's possible. I just, again, like, we have too many new pieces in Philadelphia with still a bad offensive line. I don't know if they're going to go through the tight end so vigorously like they have in the past. I don't know what the offensive approach is for this team. There's a lot of uncertainty here, and that's why I have him below Waddle. I told you that I had the two of them neck and neck, and I just felt more secure about Tua. But so I know Hurts has tons of upside, though. He does.
I mean, yeah, I'm just I think I'd rather go buy Rager at the discounted price and see what's going to happen versus the upside that is already in the Devonta Smith narrative. I know that's not what this show is about. So
that's fair, though. I think that's applicable with what we're talking about here, because you're talking about opportunity. So
I'm not too excited about Devonta Smith.
I hate that you're not excited, though. I own way too much Devonta Smith for you to be this unexcited. It really pisses me off.
No, I mean,
it does, because you're going to be right again, and it's going to really piss me off.
I definitely don't want to be right. He's just another small, fast guy that hasn't done anything in the NFL that I'd be happy to go and pay for once he does. And
I don't know, dude. I think he's like one of the best route runners in this entire class. I really do. I don't think he's more than a small, fast guy. He's more than a small, fast guy. I think Waddle's closer to just a fast guy than Devonta Smith is.
But that extra like 20, 25 pounds,
I know,
means something to me.
Yep. And it means a lot to a lot of people. Like, you know, the 170 is generous.
Yeah.
He might not be 170. It's scary, dude.
He looks so small.
yeah. I mean, there's a part of me that, and anybody who likes him that has to depend on a little bit of an outlier at that. But I think would I be right, Dave, that his BMI is actually sufficient?
I think BMI is for losers, so I have no idea.
Okay. but most analytic people like really dwell on that as opposed to the weight.
Well, fake analytic people, yeah. Fake analytic people, sure.
That care about vacated targets?
No, just fake analytical people.
Just the fake people, gotcha.
Yeah.
So BMI means nothing, gotcha.
BMI is for the crows.
I'm trying to think, like, because you learn a lot. Like, okay, you learn a lot, like, doing eliminators, some of our different redraft best ball you league.
Yeah, that's fun. You learn really a lot see.
About yep. yourself when you're in those situations.
I agree.
And you're kind of looking at all these players we've been so excited about because we're building our dynasty rosters in most cases. Mm-hmm. You learn a lot about yourself when you're looking at it, though, through the lens of how can they help me in 2021 versus how excited I am about said player.
Yep.
And for me, I think, if I'm looking at Devonta Smith through that lens, I think I'm taking him after Jamar Chase, after Waddle, after Rondell Moore, after Elijah Moore. Probably right around that area, the Bateman, Devonta Smith, probably about the same spot for me.
I noticed you didn't mention Terrace Marshall at all.
No, I mean, I like Marshall a lot, but the truth is, I mean, we've got Curtis Samuel there. Mm-hmm. That's your bargain buy right there.
Yep.
And then we've got, as we all know, Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, and then Antonio Gibson, who's probably going to get a lot of targets or a lot of his productions from targets, honestly, even if it's 3 to 5 a week. So for me, Marshall's kind of a dynasty project, somebody I like a lot in dynasty, but for a year one guy, I mean, he needs something bad to happen. And Curtis Samuel's played with Ron Riviera offense before. He's going to be liked in that offense right away. So
Curtis is gone, though.
Curtis Samuel?
Yeah.
I put Marshall in with Washington for some reason.
Yep.
But I did really good at talking about Washington.
Yeah, and I love Curtis Samuel for the record. But
you know, I was like, oh, is this a time to sneak in Demi Brown?
I'm
like,
Marshall would have went to Washington. Yeah, so we don't need to know how I feel about Brown now.
But that being said, I think Robbie Anderson and all the targets he had last year is getting overlooked for 2021. I think people are putting Terrace Marshall in that number two slot, already sharing a ton of targets with DJ Moore. And they're just forgetting Robbie Anderson is there. And I think that's wrong.
Kind of just like rehabbing the whole time they've been in camp too. Yeah. So I kind of feel the same way, honestly. And I had that narrative in my head. I just ended up attaching it to Washington.
To a different player, to a previous player. Yep, absolutely.
A couple of things here. The thing about Marshall is if he gets any type of, if he gets starts getting featured as a red zone guy, would be exciting.
Touchdowns, yep. Yep.
So that could be exciting for Marshall.
Yep.
I'm having trouble getting him. I have him at two to four touchdowns, but I have him over 10% target share, but I kind of not going to echo what you guys said, but yeah, I feel similar. But heading back to Washington, I think people are forgetting about Washington. They're forgetting that Adam Humphries is there.
Yep.
And the health of Adam Humphries is going to really decide is Demi Brown the true third option or like the third wide receiver, fourth or fifth option behind JD McKissick and Logan Thomas, and McLaurin and Curtis Samuel?
Yeah.
Or is he going to be the explosive guy in the, like, is he going to, that's how it's going to pass. So I think that's the only thing that made me really pump the brakes on Dummy Brown a little bit.
Humphreys hasn't been relevant for years now. And Dummy Brown, I think, does win this spot. Like, I want to say mid-year.
And they play different positions. Humphrey's more of a slot guy. Brown's on the outside. I just think is an overall excellent from the target point. Type share.
I agree.
And two, the only other thing is that Humphrey's got signed for peanuts, $1.1 million. Yeah. So it's not like they have a lot financially invested. I just think it was a thing that just stood out to me. It was like, oh, I forgot M. Humphreys is there.
Yeah, I forgot too. I saw him on a depth chart as a starter, and I kind of went, yeah, for now, but not by the end of training camp. But with that being said, McLaurin, Samuel, and yes, Logan Thomas, those three should command quite a few targets. And then you have Fitzpatrick, who just loves to throw to one guy, which is why I love McLaurin this year. It's going to be tough for Dummy Brown as much as you love him in 2021. It really is going to be tough.
Yep. Any other wide receivers?
Drive-bys on Kadarius Toney. It would be that real quick, Kadarius Toney would be that I don't think he's going to get over 8 to 10%. I don't think he's going to get double-digit target share, 450 total yards, 2 to 4 TDs. He's going to get some rushing stuff, 15 to 20 rush attempts, but I think he's going to be the fifth option behind Galladay, Barkley, Shepard, Slayton, and Engram. So
there's a lot of guys there.
Yeah.
A lot of guys. And you got Daniel Jones leading that offense. So,
and Swags, I have one more that comes with an apology.
Oh, man. I always say, you know, apologies are kind of weak if they're right after something that you could still control.
All right. Well, I
control this.
I'm going to control this now. Two episodes ago, I said that Russell Wilson was in attempts top 10 the last 2 years. That is fucking wrong. It's not even close to right. I don't know where the hell I got that, but he was 17 last year, 28th in 2019, and 32 in 2018. So he has climbed quite a bit. And I brought that up not only to apologize for that mistake and correct it now, but
that
also
an uncontrolled mistake. He feels bad about that.
I feel horrible about it because I was making a lot of claims based on it. But what I will say is from 28 to 17 is significant. And I could see Russell Wilson cooking and going top 12 this year. And Dwayne Eskridge as a third wide receiver on this team benefiting from those extra targets.
I could see that, you know, in that, like, kind of like we were talking that, I mean, wide receiver 4-ish area, I'm guessing that's what you're telling people. You're not saying like
Mooney, Gabriel Davis territory. Yes.
Yeah.
I'm not there, guys. I think David Moore is a better wide receiver than Esper. So there we go.
David Moore's not there anymore.
I know. I'm just saying like that. I'm trying to say it like that as far as.
And David Moore, I looked at his, he had like 350 yards last year. It was all touchdowns, his production. He did nothing, no targets. Like, it's scary. That's the things that make you not like Dwayne Eskridge. I hear you. But I'm also basing this off of the fact that he goes from 17 to 12. I think that he complained quite a bit, and it's all getting covered up right now because I think they're placating to him, and I think he's going to throw the ball a lot more.
I think Nico Collins could get you 600 to 700 yards this year.
Whoa. And that's not really
saying much. Like,
Nico Collins.
Yes.
Is Michigan stuff bias bleeding through at all?
Maybe? I still don't know who's throwing to him.
I think it's Tyrod Taylor to start that season.
I agree. It's Tyrod Taylor to start.
Go throw in offers for Tyrod Taylor on the cheap.
I agree 100%. It's Tyrod Taylor to start.
But also do try to get some Davis Mills. But I think it's Tyrod Taylor to start the season. And there's some Michigan love in there, Dave. You're right. But, man, took the year off because of COVID. Big body guy. There's just not a lot going on there. He could see opportunity very early on, similar to what we were talking about with Amon-Ra St. Brown, not a player comp there, but an opportunity comp.
I looked at what the weapons are in Houston, and it was, I almost threw up in my mouth. It was bad. It was, I'm like looking around at Jordan Akins, Randall Cobb, Brandon Cooks. And then it was like Kiki Kuti. It is Brevin rough Jordan. Out there. Brevin Jordan. It is ugly. And then you look at the running back, you have Phillip Lynn, all the running. I'm only like five running backs, running back by committee out there. I looked at that, like the Houston players, and I was like, oh my God, I don't even want to. I had a headache. I was like, I just almost guesstimated for Nico Collins just because I was like, I don't even want to look at.
Nico's a throwback, though. He's like that big-bodied wide receiver with athleticism. Like, I do dig that about Nico Collins.
I like it.
Yeah. I do dig that. Like, that's old school. I like that body type. So we'll see. I mean, like Dave's saying, man, there's a shit ton of opportunity over there. That's for sure. I don't like that situation even a little bit.
I love that name. Nico Collins rolls off the tongue.
It does roll off the tongue.
I do like it. Oh, is that what it is? Is that why I like him?
Yeah, Nico.
Nico Collins.
Yeah, that's it. That in Michigan.
It's the name thing.
And so Michigan.
We did a drive-by of Kadarius Toney. So we've got to do a quick drive-by of some tight ends before we get out of here. Dave teased us a little bit top of the show with everybody's favorite Kyle Pitts for good reasons. Now Julio's gone. How much does that help Kyle Pitts? We talked about it a little bit here, like how it's going to happen. Like, even though we knew Julio was gone, people still have overreacted this week as if they didn't know, even though they knew. Do it all the time. Not here on Rookie Fever.
What are you guys thinking that Pitts can pull off this season? I mean, that's the question. I mean, we now know that They literally do not have. I mean, Russell Gage is going to definitely get some more targets. Maybe Hurst even now with no Julio Jones gets a couple more targets. But what can a rookie tight end really do in his first season? Even if he is Kyle Pitts,
it's going to be amazing.
What are we looking at? Well, tell me what that is though. I keep hearing about how amazing it is and how great he's going to be. Again, put a number on it. What is he good? Is he 800 yards? 900 yards?
So he's 1,200 to 1,400 yards.
What? Whoa. What?
And
what?
Like, yeah.
What?
1,200 to 1,400 yards.
Pin tweet that. Like,
isn't that already better than Kelsey ever was?
Down my pin tweet yet.
Pin tweet it. That other one's been up long enough. Pin tweet it.
I don't even think. Like, so how disappointed? I mean, when he signs that contract as a wide receiver, are our fantasy leagues going to have him as a wide receiver and a tight end still, or is he just a wide receiver now? He's going to be a receiver on that team. You don't have to worry about any of the things you normally worry about on as you do with your tight ends. Even if he's the tight end on the team, he's going to be a receiver on that team. He's not going to be the tight end that's out there blocking. He's going to be in routes. That's his job.
So you're saying we can ignore all tight end expectations because he won't be functioning as a tight end in any capacity?
Yes, I am saying that. I don't want to say at any capacity. You can ignore most narratives that we've created for how long it takes a tight end to get acclimated in the NFL. But don't ignore like some of the rookie bumps. But yes, I'm putting him up there with like a Justin Jefferson type season, like above 1,000 yards, like with that ceiling of like 1,200 to 1,400 yards, with a very like probable floor of 1,000 to 1,100.
Whoa. I mean, that 1,200 to 1,400 yards is like Kelsey's second best season ever. So like that's tough to expect from a rookie. And I understand what you're saying about it. He's not going to be necessarily operating like a typical rookie tight end, and he's that good. I mean, I have him as my number one wide receiver rookie overall. So don't get me wrong. It's not like I disagree. I just have him at around 800, 850 receiving yards, 6 to 8 TDs, over a little over 100 targets. That's kind of what I'm like, 18% share. But I mean, sure. Like, I mean, he's good. He's really good. I just am not quite at that. Like, I'm not like, I felt like I was like pants off for Rondale Moore. I'm not pants off for Kyle Pitts. I'm just like a sit back, smoke a cigar and enjoy Kyle Pitts a little bit, like, you know, enjoy him. But like Rondale Moore, I'm like, I want to ride the Bronco, baby. I want to like, you know, ride the wave and really just and love Rondale Moore with pants on though. Finir. I see those eyes.
Thank you. I'm glad you clarified. You started with pants off.
We'll tally it. We'll make a weekly tally as those yards go up for Kyle Pitts.
I wanted to ask you guys about that. Like every year we do this, right? We have like these three or four rookies that we talk about in our top 12 every freaking week, right? Kyle Pitts is going to be one, isn't he? Kyle Pitts is going
to
be one.
We're not going to be able to use him in our game. Well,
yeah, probably not. I don't know if he'll be one every week, but I mean,
he'll be one of the top 12 that we're talking about every week.
I think so. Yeah. And I think he's going to like have 70 to 100 yards every week.
All right.
And by the end of 17 of those games, I mean, I honestly, guys, I think that that's what we're going to see from Kyle Pitts with no Julio. And we knew there was going to be no Julio, but I'm more worried for the people that put the investment in at tight end premium if that ever goes away, because he doesn't even want to sign his contract until they change him to a wide receiver.
Wait, is that true?
That's what's true. Said?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you shouldn't have the cap space. I didn't hear that part. Oh, wow.
Whoa. Breaking news on Rookie Fever.
Yeah, I'm almost positive. Let me confirm that. You guys talked for a minute.
Finero, where are you with Kyle Pitts? I think you asked us. Did you give us your 2 cents?
I think my ceiling on him is exactly where you projected it. That's my ceiling. That 800-900 yards, which is why I threw it out there. I wasn't willing to go north of that. I'm still not. I'm just not willing. Like I'm probably off my be careful. You know, Kyle Pitts could be the next. Super uber athletic tight end that doesn't work out in the NFL. I'm off of that. I'm convinced he'll be successful in the NFL. I'm just not convinced that he will be historically relevant as a tight end rookie. I'm just not. Now, he's already made the history books by being the highest drafted tight end. So there's an NFL team that thinks he's pretty damn good.
What would be crazy if that he? I actually kind of agree with Swags that I could see him losing that wide receiver, that tight end designation. I didn't know that it was like this, like that. That's the crazy part. Today talking about like asking, like in a group chat, they're asking, oh, where does he rank if he was just a wide receiver? And I was like, oh, maybe that's a good question.
What would that do to the fantasy community if he becomes a wide receiver? Would the people who drafted him as a tight end just be freaking out, or they'd be like, great, I have a wide receiver? I think they'd be freaking the fuck out.
I think they'd be quitting dynasty leagues. I think they'd be quitting. Like those.
So I can't confirm that anywhere.
All right.
Well, that was a fun 5 minutes.
It still happened. Even still go with it, because let's stay there. Because like at that point, like I don't think you should freak out, honestly. And
it depends.
Gonna hurt your team depending on the moves that you made thinking that Kyle Pitts was going to be your tight end, or if you went out and traded Kelce or Hockenson to get Pitts, it could affect your team. But as far as in your rookie draft, if you took him around the same area that somebody took Jamar Chase, you know what I mean? If you look at it that way.
My player profile was with Rich Doxson, Dynasty Nerds, and we were talking about Kyle Pitts. Everyone knows how much Rich loves Kyle Pitts. I mentioned to him the scenario where I had the opportunity to draft Pitts, but I also own Kittle. And he said, sell Kittle. Just sell Kittle for a king's ransom, draft Pitts, and you're good. See, imagine if you did that.
I'm not selling Kittle until the season starts and people remember just how
good he is. Agree with you, brother. That's exactly what I said. I'm like, I didn't say it on the show. That's exactly what I should have said on the show. But I absolutely think that this is not the time to sell Kittle. You want Kittle back on the field, healthy. Because anytime you talk about Kittle, they talk about injury. And you just don't want to
see
that.
Him flexing after a
absolutely.
Big yak play.
Yep.
But going back to your point, though, I think I actually forgot what your point was just because I got so excited about the Kittle comment. But I'll let you go back.
Well, I think maybe you were bouncing off of the thought of trading Kittle because you're going to draft Pitts. Was that something you wanted to bounce off of?
Oh, I will say even with my lofty projections, I did it the last like 2-3 days. I was making projections through very rough, but I actually did not have Pitts as a top five dynasty, or he was my tight end 6. So I did not have
dynasty.
In projections for 2021.
Okay.
So people already have him as like in redraft, they're taking it like tight end 3.
Yeah, I know, man.
And I'm not there. I wouldn't be surprised if Mark Andrews has more points. And I think TJ Hockenson has more points than him this season.
Yep. I think Hawk can do it. Andrews can do it. Waller can do it. Kittle can do it. Kelce will do it. That's 5 right there.
And that's just where I am. But I'm still very high as far as rookies are concerned. I'm very high on Pitts. But
all right, let's talk about besides Pitts. Are there any tight ends that no tight end's going to be a tight end one? Let's not kid ourselves. But are there any tight ends where we could get a little excited, right? Like last year we had a little Cole Kmet that got us excited. His value went up. Hell, even Adam Trautman's value went up with the Jared Cook. We had even Harrison Bryant, right? So we had some flashes. Is there any guy that you think can do that in this class? Get us a little excited. And we're like, oh, you know what? I could probably try to get some shares of him in the offseason. For me, it's not Brevin Jordan. I'm not going there.
Freiermuth is my guy that I'm – oh, Swags is back, baby. Swags
I just said back. Maybe. I just said maybe. I mean, just because of what we said about, like, Nico Collins and nobody being there. So, I mean, you said flashed. I don't think that that's
– That's it. Just flash.
Yeah, I think that he could maybe flash
yep.
a couple times. But go ahead with Freiermuth, Dave.
I'm actually hoping that Freiermuth maybe, you know, 20 catches, something like that. Not really mm-hmm. crazy, but mm-hmm. I'm actually people forget about him mid season. I want to try to get him, especially yeah, like in tight end premium. And so this rookie season, I mean, there's countless players that people cool off. And we say it every year. Don't do the rookie dip. I got AJ Brown for pennies from people when he didn't get a lot the first 8 weeks that he was. Countless players for pennies. And I think Freiermuth is one of those players because Juju's gone. I think Ben could be gone. They could have a totally different quarterback. And there's going to be tons. And Ebron probably is going to be gone. There's going to be tons of opportunity year two for Freiermuth. And you're going to get him I bet you're not going to have to spend a future third should get Freiermuth midseason. No problem.
Yeah.
Even in tight end premium.
Now, you could probably that move right now and get Freiermuth for around a third.
You don't think the people who drafted Freiermuth aren't going to give him the J.K. Dobbins treatment where they're like, well, I'm not getting anything out of him year one. You don't think they drafted him knowing that? Like, I feel like they do. I don't think
the excitement's there, though. Like, there was legit excitement.
Cool off. Yeah.
I drafted Freiermuth in a couple leagues, like, because he's just the right price at the right area. Freiermuth's right on that line where, like, there's a huge, significant rookie drop. So I have him in a couple different premium spots, including one with Swags. And I know that I'm not expecting anything year one, and it has nothing to do with my tight end garden and everything to do with the fact that Ebron is there and next year Juju's gone. Like, I think that all that stuff is kind of out there. I don't know if you're going to get him.
I love getting my discount laundry detergent for cheap price.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy it. But I don't go downstairs. So like you said, you like, oh, you like the price. You like the where he was going in rookie drafts. I don't go down in my basement, though, when it's time to do laundry and get excited. Oh, I get to use my freaking laundry. Like, I've been waiting for this. I don't get excited like on that value. I don't feel that value.
It doesn't always work, Dave.
Yeah.
Sometimes that cheap laundry detergent doesn't always work.
Well, you brought AJ Brown up as an example, and I think that's totally different. Because AJ Brown, literally his first half of the season was doing nothing, and the expectations were higher.
I disagree because they were on Tennessee, though.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. You're right.
What if Eric Ebron gets hurt?
He's right. That's partially revisional history for me. Revisional is not a word, people, but that is probably something that I wrote in my head because you're right. Like AJ, the reason a lot of people own AJ Brown is because he was going to Tennessee, so that there were lower expectations. You're right.
But I like what Swag said. Eric Ebron disappoints. He too many drops and just gets phased out of that offense. Freiermuth could get. You know, he could become a red zone weapon halfway through the season.
I honestly think it takes an injury though, but
yep.
But I agree with you.
I agree.
I think Eric Ebron silently did better than a lot of people expected last year in Pittsburgh. So I think that it would take the injury for Freiermuth to be the viable tight end on that team.
Did Brandon say that Freiermuth was a good blocker? Or is he just a willing blocker? Do you guys remember what he said in the rookie profile?
I think he said he was a good blocker. I think he said he was an all around tight end in Penn State, and I think he was.
Maybe Gronk.
Yeah, maybe Gronk. Yeah.
So that's the interesting part because as they, you know, you want to pound Harris in there, and you know Ebron. I don't ever hear anyone celebrating Ebron's blocking ability.
No. So I mean, I agree. He's an athletic tight end.
So that's kind of how you get more. You're on the field more. And, sure. And, yeah. Sure. So
maybe they're both on the field.
And we're saying flashes, maybe flashes.
Yep.
So any more tight ends you guys want to talk about before we get out of here, guys?
I wish we could talk about more, but I just really don't think there's many to talk about in this class.
I'll say that I've said this on a couple different shows, but I'll say it here. I haven't said it here. I'm looking forward to maybe getting the wife a powder blue Trey McKitty jersey. She's a big Cat fan. And Trey McKitty, you know, I don't think he's much of a freaking fantasy player, even though some people might disagree. But yeah, Trey McKitty, very sexy in the powder blue. Excited to get it for my wife. Maybe it's a Christmas gift or birthday gift. Who knows? So that's kind of the only thing. A little spice, you know. People are looking for some cool jerseys. That'd be a nice little jersey.
Trey, if you're listening, it was just a joke. He doesn't really mean anything.
That's a multi-layer joke, actually.
I missed the third layer on that one. You have to let me know after the show.
All right. Yeah. Who wants to do final thoughts? I think Dave, you could do final thoughts because you weren't here last week. And I'm Swagzilla0G, and it's your turn to talk.
And well, I'm really excited to be joined by Fierce Fornaro as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can find him at Aardvark TV on the tweet machine. Nice. And then you can find me at FF_Spaceman. Excited to be back on Rookie Fever. Find us over on Twitter. And then as we're parting here, I will say there are a couple players that I was excited about. Anthony Schwartz is a player that I'm looking forward to seeing some camp news about as a wide receiver. And final thoughts is that as we're getting these camp, these mini camp things, and we're getting these rookie updates, this is the exciting part for Rookie Fever. I think the fevers are going to really start hitting here, and I think we're going to really hit our stride because I feel like there's a little bit of a dull after rookie drafts. There's an exhale, and now it's time to get excited on Rookie Fever again because I'm feeling it. I'm sick. I got the sickness. I'm ready to go, baby.
He's dripping sweat.
Love it. Love it.
Rookie Fever.
That's what he has, the rookie fever.
Yeah, I like how you just like stuck that in there. Oh, there goes the shirt. Yep, he is hot tonight. Dave, shirtless again.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to put Josh Palmer on the list, but I think Guyton beats him out this year. I think Josh Palmer's got to wait until Williams leaves.
Could get that in the powder blue.
Amir Smith Marset. He's the kind of guy I'm really curious to see how his camp goes.
Wait till next year, maybe, and get the Austin Eckler jersey on clearance.
Oh, shots fired. Austin Eckler drive by.